You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we are with my favorite family planning, family office planning lawyer, Tom Handler. Tom is the name partner and Handler Thayer, Chicago's top firm. My gosh, it's probably, if not the nation's, the world's. You know, he's an advanced planning lawyer. I met him at the Wilson Family Office Conference a couple of years ago. He was introduced to me by the head of one of the family offices I do business with as the top family office lawyer in the U.S. I brought him to a conference last year. He was the speaker at that conference. And when I got off the stage and he started talking, I watched all the high net worth investors start taking notes. So, Tom, welcome back to the show. You've won all these awards. They're all on your signature there. 2015 International Wealth Planner of the Year, 2015 Wealth Planning Game-Changing Lawyer of the Year, 2015 Michael J. Brink Award for Leadership and Service in the North American Wealth Industry. He should be proud to be affiliated with you. What's happening, Tom?
Well, I think I should be honored to be affiliated with him. But in any event, these family holding companies are really quite compelling. And I remember, you know, earlier in my career, I started in accounting, and I remember a lot of accountants and lawyers, all of these things are gimmicks, and they'll never last. And I'm like, well, you know, this gimmick's been around 50 years already, and it's survived a lot since. And the IRS has continued to go after it when they can, but the reality is it's just a very commonly used business vehicle that's almost everywhere. And so those who have negatively describe these vehicles were largely mistaken, and not that you can't make mistakes. I've seen them as tax shams, and you can't do deathbed transfers, and you can't commingle assets, and yeah, they could be done poorly, and you will lose. And you know, if anyone intending a sham shouldn't try it, right? That's never going to work.
That's why it's a sham. You don't do a sham.
If these are done properly and artfully, they're very effective.
Now,
they provide this estate discounting, asset protection. Assets in there are non-marital property, so it serves a premarital planning function as well. They're very financially efficient because you don't have to fractionalize assets, portfolios, businesses, and real estate. And there's also some income tax benefits to be picked up. So taken all together, they're really quite compelling.
It sounds really cool. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out is how you guys come up with these strategies, because I know the last time you were on our show, we talked about it was how you came up with what I think you referred to as the stealth prenup. And you said you looked for 5 years about all the broken prenups, and you tried to find all the arguments and make sure that you could defend them. So I got to believe you use that same kind of attention to detail when you're doing these types of family holding companies.
Well, we certainly attempt to do so. We've never had one blown up, and then we've done hundreds and hundreds of these types of structures. I do know some structures that have been blown up, and there's been some very noteworthy cases. So there's very good precedent out there that will tell, you know, the lawyer structuring these what not to do, and you can almost identify best practices and worst practices and gauge your drafting and how you operate these enterprises accordingly. But notwithstanding what taxpayers are doing, you know, the IRS is all about raising money, and so they, you know, they haven't really been all that effective over these many years. I think they've been very good at getting the scams and the bad players, but they haven't been all that effective in challenging these vehicles, and so they'd like to, you know, do something else. And so there was a recent comment that was taken a little bit out of context, but it just lit up the internet and was all over the place, and I had notices from law firms and accounting firms and wealth management groups. It was just all over the place, and it was basically taking a sky-is-falling approach that the IRS is going to attack these discounts that are used in estate planning, and that you should go ahead and make your transfers immediately because, you know, the discounts may be disappearing. And that's not really the way that we see it. I think that's a bit of an overreaction. What actually happened was a Treasury official named Kathy Hughes, I believe, was misquoted and taken out of context a bit. But, you know, she did say that the IRS is working on, you know, what are called Section 2704 regulations, which are designed to adversely impact or limit the discounts in certain contexts, which means they'll still be around in other contexts and eliminated potentially in others if the IRS is successful. I think, though, given the legislative history behind that section and the fact that so many of these holding companies own family farms and ranches and small businesses, you have a very effective lobby that's already fairly hostile to the Treasury and the administration in general. And so to get these people who've been hit very hard by the meltdown and, in effect, are the engine that generates growth and jobs in the country, doing something that's not in their best interest is going to be a tough, very tough row to hoe, to use a farm analogy. And then ultimately, when they're trying to remove or eliminate discounts for things like lack of control and lack of marketability, I think that's going to be very tough. Those are very meaningful factors that warrant a discount. If someone sells you a stock, you know, you're going to pay a lot more for it if you got a 51% vote and you control the company than if you've got a 35% vote and you don't control anything. And so the current valuation theory is very well founded. There's lots of law and history behind it. So I think the IRS has a tough way to go here.
So, Tom, you know, it seems to me then that you still think that this is a compelling structure, and, you know, maybe there's a couple of other ideas you could throw out there for some of the people that are listening if they want to meet you or they want to network with you. I know you're going to be speaking at a couple conferences. You're going to the Opal thing up in Newport, Rhode Island, right?
Correct.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that my conclusion or sense of this is that these vehicles are so compelling that if there were no estate discount whatsoever, we'd still be recommending them. You know, it's worth it just for the control and the asset protection, the premarital planning benefits, and the financial efficiency. So they're so effective at this point that even without any discounts, they would still be very compelling vehicles. But I think the discount is not going to be materially affected. I think the IRS will have a difficult time. That being said, they are writing regulations. We know that's coming. I suspect they're in 2016, but it certainly could be late in 2015. We don't know what their schedule is. They have other issues they're dealing with first. And I think any taxpayer that wants to eliminate risk is well advised to consider making their transfers or gifts sooner, utilizing the discount so that they beat the legislation, if any, and they don't have to fight the argument at all. So a conservative person would say, go ahead and move forward. But these newsletters that came out of a whole host of firms basically said, you know, jump in immediately today, this could happen any minute. And I don't really think that's the case. I don't think it has quite that sense of urgency. But they make a point, and the point is, yeah, you can eliminate some of the risk by acting sooner rather than later. And you can rest assured that this subject matter is going to pop up at many of the upcoming conferences. So I will be at Opal in Newport in a couple of weeks. I'll be at Family Wealth Alliance in New York next week. I'll have a number lined up later in the year as well. And this will be an ongoing source of discussion for the rest of the year, certainly among the attorneys and accountants and wealth planners.
Okay, we've only got about a minute left, Tom. So I got one question I got to ask you. I've been waiting for a half hour to ask you. It has nothing to do with wealth advisory.
All right.
Are the Blackhawks going to repeat next year?
You know what? As a lifelong loyal Blackhawks fan and season ticket holder, I can assure you that they will.
I had that feeling, and I know where you're going to. You know, find out when they're going to be in Miami. Meet me down here at the Bank Atlantic Center. We'll go catch the game. Tom Handler, the preeminent family office attorney. If you want to protect your, and I'm going to say it this way, your assets, you better talk to Tom. Tom, about how big does a family's net worth or trust have to be before it really makes a difference in doing this kind of stuff? We've got 1 minute left. I'm getting the 1 minute sign from D. You got 1 minute.
Well, I think most practitioners would say that you wouldn't even consider a structure like this until you were at $2 or $3 million. And at the lower level, it's people who are responsible for their own malpractice and they can't protect themselves. So the chosen profession, doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects, dentists, that group. But I would say really $10 million in net worth is probably where it starts to make more sense. At $25 million, it's absolutely compelling. And so it really is a cost-benefit based on what a family's objectives or priorities are, what are they trying to accomplish. But because they're so compelling in so many areas, not only are they cost effective, they also serve other benefits and might let you to sleep at night. So it's really a very personal decision. But I would say at 10, I start looking very seriously at it if someone hasn't at least considered these kinds of structures.
Well, Tom, everybody I know that's got a net worth or a trust over $10 million wants to meet you when you're coming down here. So let me know when you're coming. We'll set up a great group of people to meet with you. Tom Handler, the family asset protection man. I want to thank you, as always, for being a regular guest on the show, Tom.